to get to you, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Our church has been involved in Faith Promise for many, many years. In fact, it's safe to say that because of the efforts and sacrifice of God's people in giving specifically to world evangelism, we have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to world evangelism and have been able to send out many missionaries all over this world. And only God knows the results of the partnership that we've had with missionaries, our church, you and me, as we have given to missions over the years. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll get there in just a moment, but I want us to look at the concept of where this idea of Faith Promise came from, and what the Bible has to say about giving and how we can be a part of this wonderful program. Now, the reality is the concept of giving is everywhere in the Bible. You don't have to go very far to realize that the God that we serve and the God that we love is a giving God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so God is a giving God, and think of creation. God made this world, and he gave it for us to keep and to guard. He gave us this wonderful creation. So the God that we love, the God that we serve, he is a giving God, and he is a loving God. And the Bible teaches us that the Word of God teaches us that we are to give the tithe to him. That tithe means 10%. God always separates a portion for himself. He did that in the Garden of Eden. He made all the trees and all these fruit trees. He said, man can have all of these trees, but one tree belongs to me and you can't touch it. God always separates a portion for himself. And God says, listen, you're going to give the tithe. The tithe belongs to me. You give me 10% and you live on 90%. That's a good deal. And God says, I'm going to bless you for that. I'm going to bless you for that faith and that obedience. There are those that will say, well, yeah, but tithing is kind of an Old Testament thing. It's kind of a part of the law, which is not true, because the Bible says that Abraham tithed to God in Genesis chapter 14. Jacob tithed in Genesis chapter 28. You see, tithing was before the law, and it was established at the law, and then also it continues after the law. Jesus taught about tithing, and so tithing is what already belongs to God. Tithing is God's. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that if you refuse to tithe, then you are robbing God. And God will not be able to bless your finances because, listen, the tithe already belongs to the Lord. I heard the story of a little boy that was in the service, and he didn't want to put his money, his offering, in the offering plate. And so his mother decided to use some hurried creative reasoning to try to convince that youngster to put that money into the offering plate. And so she said to that young man, she said, you don't want to have that money, honey. You don't want to keep it. She whispered in his ear, quick, drop it in the offering plate, because that money's tainted. And the young guy heard. He obeyed his mother. He threw that money in the offering plate. And he looked at his mother later and said, Mom, why was that money tainted? Was it dirty? And the mother said, oh, no, dear. She said, it wasn't dirty. She said, it just taint yours and it taint mine. She goes, that's God's money. And that's the same that's true with our tithe. It belongs to the Lord. It's God's money. When we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're not talking about tithing. We're talking about a love offering. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. Look what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Follow along as I read here. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Let's take some time and talk to the Lord. Can we? Father, thank you so much for each individual here. And Lord, we are so thankful for our church, the faithfulness of your people, and the money that has been given over the years for world evangelism. Lord, I believe with all my heart that this is your heart. You came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, each of us, Lord, to do our part for world evangelism so that we can send more missionaries all over the world and help others to preach the gospel, Lord, that you love so much. Thank you again for all your blessings. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is not about a tithe. It's about a love offering. I want us to think about, number one in your notes there, the reason for their giving. The reason for their giving. Now, Paul mentions an important mission that is on his heart, an important burden that Paul cannot get away from. The poor saints in Jerusalem after Pentecost, many of these Christians trusted, or many of these individuals trusted Christ as their Savior, and they began to live in Jerusalem, and these Christians had nothing. They were going through a difficult trial and affliction of their life. They had no money, they had no financial means, and Paul was burdened to help these poor Christians out. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Just turn back a few pages and go to Romans chapter 15 and notice what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 26. Romans chapter 15 and verse 26. The Bible says this, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." The idea there of carnal things speaks of their financial well-being or their physical needs. So the saints at Jerusalem had a great need. There were countless believers after Pentecost that were suffering under great hurt and pain and lack. And Paul was impressed by the Spirit of God that he would write to these churches and raise money to help them meet their needs in a physical way. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that first of all, their spiritual needs were met. I want us to understand this. There's a lot of causes in our world today, and we give to many of these causes. I mean, even this year, people have come to my house, and they've been raising money for various causes, various missions, cancer research. I mean, our family, my life was affected directly by cancer, and there are other diseases that people give, and they're interested in the physical needs of individuals, and it's good to be giving people, but more important than the physical health and well-being of people is man's spiritual need. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that they were given here, their spiritual need was taken care of, and now Paul says that the Spirit of God had impressed upon his heart to help these believers with their physical needs, to help them financially. And so what does he do? He writes to the church at Corinth. And he tells the church at Corinth, "Hey, would you be a part of this? Would you give to this cause, to this mission of the hurting believers in Jerusalem?" And what happens? The church at Corinth says, "Yeah, we'll get involved." Now, this probably surprised the Apostle Paul because the church at Corinth was carnal. I mean, you couldn't even get a holy grunt from this church. I mean, they were so self-absorbed. But they said, "Yeah, we'll get involved. We'll give something for this cause." And so what does Paul do? He writes to the church at Macedonia. And he says, "Hey, the church at Corinth, they're going to get involved. They're going to give something for this cause. Would you give something for the poor believers in Jerusalem?" Now, there was a problem with the believers in Macedonia. They didn't have anything to give. The Bible says that they were Christians that were in deep poverty. In fact, the reality is the poor people called these Christians poor. I mean, they had nothing to give, but yet they had a willing mind. In other words, they wanted to do something. They had nothing to give, but they wanted to do something. And so the Bible says that the churches at Macedonia, they had a willing spirit. They saw the need. They saw the cause. They say, "Yeah, this is important to give." And so
The Bible says they gave beyond their power. Here's the idea of that passage of Scripture. You would all agree with me that I have the power, the ability to lift up this chair. You'd say, yeah, Pastor Burns, we think that you have the strength to lift up this chair. But if I said to you, well, now after I lift up the chair, I'm going to lift up this piano, you'd say, well, you know, you're probably going to need some help with that. I don't have the power or the ability to lift that piano. In fact, if I lift that piano, let's say with one hand, I'm going to need strength from another source. The Bible says the church at Macedonia, they couldn't give anything. And so what did they do? They relied upon the grace of God to give them what they needed so that they could be a part of this cause. Listen to me. When God gives us grace, He doesn't give us grace just for the sake of giving us grace. He gives us grace to be expressed. And the church at Macedonia, they were giving God's grace to give. And they gave. They willingly gave. This is important. We want to be a part of it with a willing mind. This is what we want to do. And God gave them grace to give. But here was the problem. The church at Corinth decided, you know what? We're not going to give. They had made a commitment to give, but then they decided that they weren't going to give. And this is why we have this letter before us. This is why chapter 8 is here, because Paul is writing here and he's saying, hey, listen, I told the church at Macedonia that you were going to be a part of this cause, and now you're saying you're not going to be a part of this cause. I want you to know that they gave, they had a willing mind, and they gave out of grace. You know, as I mentioned, there's lots of causes in our world today. There's lots of opportunities for us to give our money and invest in different missions. And yet I want to remind you that there's one mission that is so important. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians in your Bible, chapter 9, and I want us to think about the words of Paul the Apostle. May the Spirit of God be our teacher this morning. Look what the Bible says in 1 chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse number 24. The Bible says, chapter 9, verse number 24. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, and verse number 24. The Bible says this, verse 24, it says here, verse 22 actually, to the weak. Let's look at verse 22. The Bible says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23. And this I do. Look at the words of Paul. And this I do. Look at that expression. For the gospel's sake. I read that passage of Scripture many years ago, and God pressed upon my heart in this passage of Scripture. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Verse 23. And I wondered in my own heart, what am I doing for the gospel's sake? Paul says, I've suffered all of these things. I've gone through all of these things, not for my own reputation, not for myself. I've done these things for the gospel's sake. Let's go back to the Old Testament and let's think about the nation of Israel. God called a man named Abraham. Abraham was called to go to a place he didn't even know where he was going. He was just to trust God. And God gave him a promise that from his seed, he would make a great nation. Isaac was that promised son. And, you know, we read about in Abraham's life, he kind of tried to do it his own way. But in the end, he trusted in God. And God blessed Abraham, and the nation of Israel was born. The purpose of Israel was not just to be a nation. The purpose of Israel had a purpose, and that was that all the other nations would see that Israel served the true God. It was evangelism. Think about this, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 60. Let me read it to you. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. King David understood the purpose of Israel. When his brothers and the army were fleeing for their life, King David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a mission? Don't we have a purpose? And he looked at Goliath, that Philistine that was mocking the true God, and he said, you're going to die today, and the earth is going to know. The earth is going to know. that Israel serves the true God. It was evangelism. I want to remind you that God loves the world. He loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When we move into the church age, we see the apostles, the disciples. God calls them out, establishes his church. He builds his church upon himself as the foundation, Jesus being the cornerstone. And then he gives them a command. He said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I'm talking to you about God's purpose, God's heart. I had the opportunity this morning to preach to the children and teach the children in Sunday school. And I used the illustration of David and his mighty man. David is in the cave of Adullam, and Bethlehem is under a garrison. They're surrounded by Philistines. And David looks at Bethlehem. He looks at the well at Bethlehem, and he says, "All that I would have of a glass of water from the well of Bethlehem." And you know the story. The Bible says there were three mighty men that heard the words of the king. And those three mighty men took off and they broke through the garrison of the Philistines and they went to the well of Bethlehem. They didn't go to the gate. They went to the well and they got a cup of water and they brought it back and they gave it to their king. And the Bible says that David poured out that water and he says, "I can't drink this. This represents the sacrifice of these men. They were willing to risk their life to give me what I want, what I desire." Let me ask you this question. What does God desire? What does God want? Have you studied the Bible to know what God wants? What puts a smile on God's face when we do and how we live? What's God's desire? What has the Holy Spirit directed us in what is interesting to the Lord? The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Listen, God loves people, no matter their color, no matter their language, no matter where they were born, no matter their background, God is interested in for all men to call upon his name. God loves people. And when we are a part of the cause of world evangelism, yes, there are a lot of causes. Yes, there's a lot of missions. Yes, there's a lot of opportunities. But I'm saying one of the greatest opportunities that we have as a church, as a Christian, is to be a part of what pleases the Lord, and that is sending out missionaries to preach the gospel. This puts a smile on God's face. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we think about the cause here. The Bible says that Paul was interested in meeting the physical needs of these believers in Jerusalem because their spiritual needs were taken care of. But let's think about the spiritual needs of people all over this world. Let's think about the needs of people in Ottawa. Let's think about the needs of people in Senegal, West Africa. Let's think about the needs for a moment in people in the Ivory Coast. Let's think about the people, the needs of people in Toronto. Listen, people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Paul says, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." But notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. The Bible says the church of Philippi, by the way, this is that poor church again. This is the church that couldn't even give to the church at Jerusalem to meet physical needs. And yet, again, beyond their power, they're giving for the work of God. They give a gift to a man named Epaphroditus, and he takes it to the Apostle Paul as he's heading into Thessalonica. And the Bible says, "I have all," verse 18, "and I abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Now notice this expression. This in context is giving to missions. This in context is for the gospel's sake. This in context is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and supporting a man to go when we cannot. This is what the Bible says. It is an odor of sweet smell. It is a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's a wonderful statement. God was well-pleased because of a church who had nothing, but they had a mind to give. They wanted to give. It was Oswald J. Smith that was so impressed of the Lord by teaching this fundraising concept taught originally by A.B. Simpson called Faith Promise. It was Oswald J. Smith that said, the supreme task of the church is evangelizing the world. And he was so impressed of this love gift in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and the mission and the cause of the physical need and helping these believers that he thought for a moment of the spiritual need. He thought of his own church. At that time, churches would give occasional offerings to missions, and he thought, what could God do if Christians would get on board and every week give something to missions? You know, if you sacrificially, or maybe not even sacrificially, maybe just out of your abundance, if you give $25 a week, every week, for 4 weeks, that would send a missionary from our church to go and help a missionary to go preach the gospel. And so, this man was so impressed that he took this concept. Oswald J. Smith said, you must go yourself or you must send a substitute. And his church, actually, the church was in Toronto, Ontario. It did great work for world evangelism. It did a great work in preaching the gospel to the world. And Oswald J. Smith was impressed by God that we could get involved for this cause, this mission, the heart of God, something well-pleasing to the Lord. The reason, I think of the reason, but number two, can we think not only of the reason, but think of their readiness to give. Their readiness to give. I want us to think about the reason for their giving, but let's think about the readiness to give. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that they were of a willing mind. Now think about for a moment the church at Corinth, they decided not to give. And I find it interesting in this passage of Scripture, I find it interesting that in chapter 8 of our passage of Scripture, Paul is not telling the church at Corinth to give beyond their power. He's not saying, you know what, step out by faith and give what you don't have. He's just asking them to give out of their abundance. He says in this passage of Scripture, herein I give my advice. He says, this is expedient for you, who hath begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. You said you're going to do it. Be a part of it. Now notice what he says, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So here is the church that says, you know what, we're not going to be involved in the mission. We're not going to be involved in this cause. And Paul says, hey, can you just give what you have? Can you just give something out of your abundance? Can you just be a part of the cause, the mission? Can you just give the Lord of a willing mind that which you have? Hey, listen, I don't think I have to remind you that we have an abundance here in Canada. We saw the slides last night of Vietnam and how those people live their life and what we have in our country. The opportunity that we have in our country. The reality is, I believe this, we can all do something for world evangelism. We can all do something more than we've ever done before. I would hope our faith has grown in the Lord Jesus from last year, and we can all do something for this cause, this important cause, this which puts a smile on the face of our Savior. Think about number three, the reaping of their giving. The reaping of their giving. Verse number 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. This is chapter 9, verse 6. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The Apostle Paul tells the church of Corinth, hey, listen, I just want you to be a part of this. This is beneficial for you. I've been studying the Bible for many years. I got saved when I was 10 years old, and after I trusted Christ as my Savior, I got away from the Lord for a little bit, and then I, I would say, got on fire for the Lord and tried to make up for lost time. And I started a Bible study with teenagers in our church and studied the Bible. And I'm convinced that being a part of world evangelism will benefit your eternity. I'm convinced. I'm convinced that God cares about the world. I'm convinced that the purpose of our church is to reach out into this world and preach the gospel. I'm convinced that when we give, whichever way we give, out of our abundance or beyond our power or even sacrificial, if we say no to some things, you know, a Tim Hortons coffee costs $1.90. And maybe many of you drink a coffee a day, $2 a day, $60 a month in coffee from Tim Hortons. And maybe you'd say, you know what, I'm not going to buy that coffee. I'm going to give that money to the Lord. I'm going to give it sacrificially for the Lord, and I'm going to give that to missions. I believe this, God will bless you, and that will be a sweet-smelling savior to our Savior, and it will be well-pleasing to Him. As we get a part of His program, and here the Apostle Paul gives us some truths here about evangelism. It says, first of all, the more seeds we plant, the more abundant our harvest. You throw a little bit of seeds, you get a small harvest. You throw a lot of seeds, you get a larger harvest. I'm not a gardener. I'm terrible at gardening. But I know that if you want a large harvest, you're going to have to plant a lot of seeds. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture. The more seeds we plant, the more abundant our harvest will be. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You want a big harvest, you need to plant more seeds. And this is an opportunity to give $1, $2, $5, $25, $50. It's an opportunity to give to God's cause. An opportunity to sow some seeds. Let me say this also in our notes there. Letter B, a giving attitude is godlike. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, but according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity. Listen, God's not interested in someone who gives grudgingly. Listen, I'm not talking about the tithe. I'm not talking about what already belongs to God. I'm talking about, in this passage of Scripture, I'm talking about an offering of love. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that God loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful there, it means to laugh. It's the idea that, hey, we don't have to give to missions. We get to give to missions. We get to be a part of this program. We get to help send these missionaries all over the world. God wants us to have a happy, cheerful attitude when it comes to giving to missions. By the way, this is all in the context of being a part of God's program. And then we see also, letter C, God wants us to spiritually grow through our giving. He wants us to spiritually grow. Look what the Bible says in verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Listen, it's not about what we want to give. Because God can use you to give much. It's a willing mind to be a part of God's program. And listen, I understand as a pastor, I can't convince you to get involved in missions. It has to be the Holy Spirit that works in your life. I just want you to encourage you that this is important to God. And this is a part of our church. You know how many missionaries that we would be able to support over the years if it wasn't for the sacrificial offering of Faith Promise? Very little. But now we get to support 30 missionaries or so and agencies and organizations. We get to help bring in boys and girls on our bus ministry and to pass out John and Romans. All of this, the gospel's sake, because of people like you and me that say, hey, listen, this is important to God, and I'm going to be a part of the program. And if I don't have anything to give, I have a willing mind, and I'm going to trust God that He'll give me grace to give, and maybe I'll sacrificially give, and I'll say no to some things so I can give to better things, and maybe we could just give out of our abundance and say, you know what, I have this to give. I don't need it. I want to give it to the Lord. I'm just saying all of us have opportunity. All of us. The church at Macedonia had nothing. But they said, we want to be a part of this. This is wonderful. Where do we sign up? But Paul says, you don't have anything. God will supply that need. And he did. And he did. God help us. You have before you a missions card. And I've taken all of the missions cards. I put them all away from other years. It's a fresh slate at Kitchener Baptist Church. We want to be able to know how much we have to support other missionaries by faith in the coming year. We want to know if we can put on missionaries. We want to be good stewards. That's what it's about, stewardship. We want to be good stewards with God's money. And so we want you to take that card and prayerfully consider, hey, what can I give? Maybe out of grace, maybe out of sacrifice, maybe out of our abundance. What can I give for world evangelism and be a part of God's program? We want you to fill out, pray about it, pray about it, pray about being involved. Fill out that card. Drop it in the offering plate at any service, and we're going to add all that up, and by faith, we're going to look at the coming year and say, okay, you know what? By God's people's sacrifice and giving to evangelism, this is the missionaries, these are the missionaries we have already, and you know, by God's people and their faith, we're going to be able to support two missionaries or three missionaries, whatever. Listen, I encourage you, be a part of God's work. $25 a week. $25 a week will support one missionary. One missionary from our church to go out and to preach the gospel. What a wonderful opportunity. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray you would help us as a church to see the need. Help us, Lord, as a church to see the cause. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be involved. I believe with all of my heart in the greatest mission or cause that we could ever be a part of. Lord, I echo the words of David, that young shepherd boy. Is there not a cause? Lord, there is a cause. Lord, help us to be a part of world evangelism. Thank you for the kind attention of your people. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and our lives to make a decision for you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, your provision in our lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn.